Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Sunday of mostly virtual worship at Plains Presbyterian. Although,
that was me.
No worries. Don't pay any attention to the man behind that curtain.
Yeah, wow.
And a special welcome, of course, to those who are here in the building who are assisting with worship today. And it's the first Sunday of May, although it's still gray outside, but hey, it's still Pittsburgh, right? I'm going to defer the rest of the announcements to Reverend Derek, who has one that's new, just popped up, and one that's a surprise. And I'll just wait.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to see you. As I'm checking your chats, I'm going to walk up to the front so that I can see, because as I told Steve, I am blind, and I can't always see so close. Jennifer makes fun of me at night because she says, "Can you see this?" I was like, "I have to get my glasses." She's like, "You're really that blind? Like, I can't see." But at any rate, we're good. It is good to see all of you today. Two announcements. Session members who are on the Zoom call, I'm asking if you'll stay online for just 5 minutes after the service. Want to have a quick touch, check-in. We have something to sort of figure out. The transition is coming, as we all know, back to traditional worship. And so we're going to have a quick 5 minute conversation about that. The second, which is the fun announcement, is I was tagged in a post, and some of you have seen it already, I believe, from an old friend. So Wednesday morning at 7, so I'd say 6:55, Wednesday morning at 7, if you tune into Y108, it's a country station out of Pittsburgh, I will be doing the morning prayer and blessing. Various ministers from the area have been asked to do it. If you volunteer, and I said, hey, I'll do it, fine. Not really sure what I have to do. I'm listening tomorrow to see if it's just a short prayer, a reading, whatever. We'll try to work in, it's a Zoom call, try to work in a conversation about our church on Sunday morning as an announcement for folks to come. But Wednesday morning at around 7 o'clock, I'll be doing the morning blessing. So if you're interested, you can listen to me pray, but you do that every week anyway. So those are the only two announcements that I have. What has been coming in have been prayer concerns, and we'll be sharing those during the service as we get there. Thank you.
So I invite you to stand as you are moved or able to do so, and join me in the prayer of praise and adoration. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for the resurrection dawn, bringing the glory of our risen Lord, who makes every day new. Especially we thank you for the beauty of your creation and the new creation in Christ, and all gifts of healing and forgiveness. We thank you for the sustaining love of family and friends and the fellowship of faith in your church. As we celebrate your resurrection, bless us. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our first hymn, our introit hymn this morning, is number 473 if you're using a blue hymnal. Otherwise, it's printed out in your program, and it's For the Beauty of the Earth.
Which from our birth over and
Please join me in our prayer of confession. Dear Heavenly Father, we lower our heads before you, and we confess that we have too often forgotten that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being a credible witness to you. For these things we ask your forgiveness, and we also ask for your strength. Give us clear minds and open hearts so we may witness to you in our world. Remind us to be who you would have us to be, regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to you and build our relationship with you and with those you have given us.
Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. It is in Christ today we are forgiven. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to pass the peace to one another as you are at home virtually, and the peace of Christ be with you from us to you.
Peace be with you.
Peace, O Lord.
Peace to all of you. Before I sing this song, I wanted to say just a few words. I was in Israel 2 months ago in March, and one quiet morning, we went down to a small cove at the Sea of Galilee. And I had to look at the water because it was so smooth, you could barely see a ripple coming to shore. And I thought, I'm going to stand in that water. So I did. And it was almost like this wave of peace came upon me. I think it was because of where I was and my faith. And I have to say, think of that. Think of the feeling that I had while I'm singing this song, please.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who steals the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. But put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Every time
Thank you, Sue. That was awesome. A true blessing. And thanks for sharing your story about being at the Sea of Galilee. Our first lesson this morning comes to us from the book of John, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 10. The note in my study Bible tells me that this first section of chapter 10 is apparently Jesus continuing the conversation with the Pharisees that ended in verse 9, the tail end of the story of the healing of the blind man. And it also notes that this first part, verses 1 through 5 and continuing, is the closest thing to a parable in the book of John. And I think you'll hear that as we get into this story. It's kind of interesting to me that this feels a little bit like a letdown, because this is like the introduction to the part about the Good Shepherd, and I really want to hear about the Good Shepherd, but we're not going to get that today. So here's our lesson from John verses 1 through 10. And this is Jesus speaking. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Here ends our lesson.
Young people, I want to talk to you for just one brief moment today before we go to the scriptures from Acts. And I want to ask you specifically about something that you heard Steve say twice in the reading. And I'm curious for you, I'm not going to answer it for you, but I'm curious for you how you answer the question. What it looks like, what it is. And I'll leave it that open-ended on purpose. When I was your age and sort of discerning my call, I had a conversation with another person, a couple years younger than I was, talking about his voice. His voice. It says it several times in here. The sheep hear his voice. And the conversation we had went something like this. How do I know if it's his voice? And I tried and I tried and I tried to explain to that person how I knew it was his voice and how my parents had told me it was his voice. But I didn't really have any other answer than, you just know it's his voice. And so right now, as you're still quarantined from each other, we're not in the sanctuary, we're not together, you're not sitting in the front here with me and laughing over ridiculous questions I asked you, like last week when we talked about making eggs, I am curious for you to spend some time this week pondering and talking to God about what you understand his voice to sound like. It's appropriate for you. It's a voice that speaks directly to you. I know what it sounds like for me. Sue, who sang for us this morning, who shared a wonderful story from the Sea of Galilee. I'm so jealous still, by the way. So jealous. She knows what his voice sounds like. Steve knows what his voice sounds like. But what does his voice sound like to you? Let us pray. Loving God, we are thankful for your word and for your voice. As we continue to worship you and work out our faith, help us to discern that voice. And as we discern it, to respond to it. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. As we prepare to spend time in God's Word, I invite you to join me in the prayer of preparation, asking the Spirit to come to us. Let us pray. Loving God, we are thankful today for these your words from the Acts of the Apostles. And we pray that as we read them, as we hear them, as we meditate upon them, we might hear and receive something new, something personal. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Today's text is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I will be reading today, as I have been quite a bit during our quarantine time, from the English Bible. Just liking the way that it sounds and what it says for us as we're listening. It's a familiar passage, but listen now and hear God's word afresh and anew for you. From Acts 2, 42 to 47. They met constantly to hear the apostles teach and to share the common life, to break bread and to pray. A sense of awe was everywhere, and many marvels and signs were brought about through the apostles. All whose faith had drawn them together held everything in common. They would sell their property and possessions and make a general distribution as the need of each required. With one mind, they kept up their daily attendance at the temple and, breaking bread in private houses, shared their meals with unaffected joy as they praised God and enjoyed the favor of the whole people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those whom he was saving. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we are thankful this morning for these your words. As we stop and we consider them, speak again to our hearts and to our minds. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. Although we know how the narrative of Acts chapter 2 began and continues on after Pentecost, the people of our text, those living in it, do not. Today's passage is the continuation of the larger Pentecost story that we will read together in a few weeks. Upon a closer examination of the text, it is noteworthy that in chapter 2 there are no breaks in time implied between Peter standing up to preach his sermon, his famous sermon in Acts 2:14, all the way up to today, what I read in Acts 2:42 through 47. It does not in any place say 3 days passed and then this happened. No breaks in time. 3,000 were added to the church following Peter's words, and the lot of them continued in the ministry following the disciples' teaching and Peter's sermon. But to begin thinking about how to apply this passage, we need to first recognize what is and what is not happening, or in this case, what's missing from our story. Because there is something missing. A great deal of uncertainty, you see, and tension lives with the implications of today's passage. And so, as we think about the need to consider what happens or what choices do we make when things become unclear and uncertain in our lives, we have to consider that. We begin there as the people. How do we, you and I, address the same tension in this church or as Christians? We have to not only wonder about this, but as the church, we are called to respond to it when we find ourselves called to live and to work in a time like Acts chapter 2. I can think of 4 different choices that are present when we come to this moment, when what we see before us, what we witness from God, what we discern together is unclear. And we begin to wonder, what happens now? How does this move forward? 4 things I think we can see. We have some real-world examples, too, and experiences that we can draw upon and witness, too, as we've witnessed and watched the coronavirus situation unfold and sort of inform our choices. And I think you'll see each of the 4 of these will, in fact, have a slight corona twinge to them if you're listening. First off, when things are unclear, we take steps to clarify. Sadly, this choice often takes on the form of some manner or method of control. We call this manipulation. And we either know how to do it, or we know what it feels like to be manipulated. Seldom is manipulation a positive experience for any of us to recount. When we address manipulation, we often begin by thinking, well, this isn't going the way I planned. So when that enters our mind, some choose to bend the facts or the story toward the chosen argument that the manipulator themselves supports. Then, once the facts are changed, I can insert my own self, my beliefs, my knowledge, or my prejudices into the mix and manipulate the conversation toward the goal I want or that I seek. We see this happening all the time, don't we? And depending on your point of view, and I'm not going to share mine, by the way, it may be occurring in our political sphere as we're working with the coronavirus and the narrative is being shifted from one pole to the other. But I'll let you decide if that's manipulation or not. A second choice we can make when things are uncertain or unclear is to examine the situation and to project ourselves into the equation as the solution. This skirts quite close, I know, to the idea of manipulation, but it is not the same thing. In projection, I take what I know, what I have experienced, and I link it to what I witness happening outside of my sphere, and then I applaud it broadly into other people's lives. Therefore, since I am the author of what is right, my projection, my solution is also correct. You are wrong, I am right. I'm projecting it into you. Both of these 2 have obvious ramifications in our lives, and more often than not, they do not produce positive results that help spread God's word further into the kingdom. We may start out thinking positively, but projection and manipulation seldom are helpful in ministry. They just don't do it, in most people's opinion. A third, more healthy option comes when we think about how to address the uncertainty and unclarity we witness. We become flexible and we practice adaptability. 3, adaptability, as you know, is a popular buzzword now in leadership circles and writing. In this sense, we take the uncertainty that we witness and we allow things to naturally occur as they do And in the church, we say we allow God to take the lead. As an example of adaptability, at Plains, could be seen when we consider where to send our next mission team for a service project. We allow God to lead, and then we're flexible saying, is now the time? Is now not the time? Where are we going? Why are we going? And we let God do the leading, and we do the adapting. It's much more healthy of a choice. When we are adaptable, we work hard to let things naturally happen around us and are quick to react to them, to keep funneling them towards things we think have a positive outcome in Christ. I don't think we need to say a whole lot more about adaptability. We do it quite frequently here at the church. We allow God the space to be God, and we follow along. And when something comes in, we funnel it towards God, and we follow. We're adaptable, quite efficiently too, I may say. Finally, when we think about uncertain, unclear times or unclear needs, we come to the choice of today's passage. It was slightly adaptable, yes. It did not manipulate or project. Instead, we shift the focus. Again, using Plains languages, we see where God is at work, and we focus on the implications of that knowledge for us. In this case, using our text today, the newly formed church has little or no structure to fall back upon when needs present themselves from the community to them. Well, in Cranberry, we have many resources to serve the community, and you know about them during the coronavirus outbreak, whether to be monetary or food or something else. The people of Acts 2, they don't have that program. That infrastructure doesn't exist yet. They have no options to do that. They can't do things the way we've always done them because we've never done them before, so there's nothing to fall back on too. There are no manuals, you see, for them to refer to, or gospel teachings to re-examine, to reread, to study in small groups, and to create bullet points of how Jesus did it. No teachers to call up on the phone besides the disciples to talk to. And we know those people get it wrong all the time, too, with Jesus. The people of this newly formed, newly created church cannot directly consult with Jesus any longer by Acts 2. To learn what God wants of them. They're on their own. But they are not alone. God trusts them to handle the ministry, which is a tall order if you start paying attention to the struggles they had with when Jesus was walking with them. God trusts them now, even though Jesus isn't there. And so this new church shifts their focus. They don't manipulate. They don't control. They're adaptable, but they shift the focus. They make seven choices in our text, or embrace seven actions that lead them toward a definite vision and mission of the church for our text that's applicable to us. Seven of them. As they shift their focus, these seven things become very important in how they create the environment where the shift can continually occur in this moment, which is unclear and uncertain, and in future moments, whether they're unclear or uncertain or whether they are concrete, it won't matter. Those seven are, in order, they hear the apostles' teaching, the text said. They listen to Peter and the others in authority. They share the common life, it said, unity. They dedicate themselves to the breaking of bread, community building, community fostering. They pray, which is a display of direct dependence upon God and not on the individual. They care for the community by selling what they had and giving to the poor. Self-explanatory. Daily attendance at worship, I read with you in the text. Worship, not just a duty, a need. They must be where God is. And finally, unaffected joy was displayed. They speak about how God is at work, even when it is difficult, even when things are unclear, especially when they're uncertain. They look and they find, how is God at work? What is happening here that creates joy in me? Even though they know Rome and the Israelite people are coming for them, or in our cases, we know we can't be together as the church. The church addressed the uncertainty of the day by dressing and embracing the larger scope of ministry as Jesus lived it out and taught it to the people. They chose to shift their focus from what is uncertain or where fear could grow and reside in the text toward the ministry of our text that we read, which is the New Testament church. And every time you read it, I'm sure it blows your mind with how generous and how gracious they were. Another important aspect of this relates to the duration of their ministry and the duration of the practice of it. This was done, these choices, these seven choices, these were done without an end date in mind. They did not create a program or a plan and then stick to it for a couple of weeks. It kept happening over and over and over again. While we hope that the coronavirus lockdown will end soon so that life at Plains can return to the normal that we miss, in this case, the young church of Acts 2, this is how they're going to be from now on. These seven things, this commitment to community, this commitment to worship, to prayer, to study, to reflection, and to caring with joy, this is who they will be from now on. It never says. And then 6 weeks later, they went back to being themselves. Underpinning the choice to adopt the 77 traits of ministry was a general sense of generosity and care. While where manipulation and projection are seen as negative choices, the generosity of Acts 2 is the outcome of a shift in perspective from one of deficit and negative thinking toward an imaginative future where God is celebrated passionately. They never said, "That's not how we've always done it before." Being generous to the extent of our passage and for this amount of time takes a choice, and that choice mandates a certain level of courage to stay the course. Again, something our pandemic is teaching us about being the church, being courageous in this time. The Acts 2 church are the same men and women, plus those newly converted 3,000 who just a short time ago were hiding in John's gospel behind locked doors for fear of the Jews and the religious authority who put Jesus Christ to death. Disciples who learned from the person of Jesus directly 3.5 years ago and then denied him and hid when the authorities arrested him have once again changed. They were afraid as he was arrested because they lived with him and became intimate with what following Jesus truly embodies and calls for. But rather than let their fear define them in the post-resurrection world they were living and working in, they were courageous enough to live this way, to be this generous in the community. They were generous enough to care for others when they could also hide and continue to be afraid. Following the outpouring of the Spirit at the beginning of Acts 2, the followers of Jesus courageously look around at the members of their community, and rather than fear or be anxious, rather than attempt to manipulate them or project upon them in order to care, they courageously and boldly gave and supported the needs of the community around them without being asked to do so and without any promise of a physical reward for doing it. One of the most powerful testimonies we have in this time of pandemic, which we know is almost at an end for our social distancing and so our staying away from each other, is our response to the call in your life directly. As you know, that can take on many different forms and focuses. It's called diversity. I spoke about it last week when I asked you to consider and share how you have been generous, because that takes courage to stand up and say, "This is what I did, and I'm courageous in it." We could manipulate, we could project, but instead we lean into what God could be doing. We take the courageous step and wonder if the needs we see outside of our window are in fact an opportunity to care and support another person without mandating an end date or an end time. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, we are thankful to be together today as the church. We are thankful to spend time with you, with each other, even virtually, to know we are the body of Christ and to give you thanks for that. Help each of us today to find in ourselves and in our ways our own opportunities to live in this manner of Acts 2. And as we do so, our faith boldly and courageously speaks for us, and we testify to the God who came from the grave, who is resurrected for us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. I invite you, whether you are here with us this morning or you are at home, virtually to stand as you are able as we confess the truth we have come to believe. Let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated if you stood with us this morning. I'm going to prepare to come down front so we can move to the time of sharing our joys and concerns and the stories that we have of God at work. Please be patient with me as I write these down because, again, I'm blind and can't see so good from a great distance away across the room. The God at work moment that I want to share with you today would be definitely coming from, and we'll be praying for as well. Last night, for those who saw an email was circulated a little bit about the children from Motseko and their virtual online thank you. It was a wonderful little video. It took about a half hour. It was so beautiful to see the children. Saw several faces that we knew in there, and Suman and Mamata sang a duet for us. And I just lost the name of the song. I should know that, but it was a beautiful song. So if you haven't had a chance to see, go look at it. God is at work in their lives. They tell us about their struggles and how the coronavirus is sort of not even allowing them to leave their homes where they live. And yet they're there, they have joy. Yet they are thankful. And Julie just chimed in and said, it was "You Are My All in All" is a song they sang. It was beautiful. Suman playing his guitar, Mamata him singing the duet. In the midst of an opportunity, again, to be negative, to be unhappy, to be upset, they chose to see God at work, and they chose to be thankful, and it was a blessing. Brought tears to my eyes as I was watching and seeing the children from Liberia that we know, seeing the places in Nepal where I think we've been. I think I recognized some places in that video where I said, hey, I know that spot. I've been there. It was a wonderful moment. Seeing the Peruvian girls dance and sing, it was wonderful. So if you haven't had a chance, check out the video. It's on Facebook. If you don't have Facebook, someone can get you the video. I'm sure it was a wonderful opportunity. So we see God at work there. We have a number of concerns that have come in this morning. I don't have all of the tech I have is being used, so I can't go and grab it and pull up emails and things. So if you send it, I can't grab it very quickly. So please be patient. We have a concern from Julie and Steve to continue to keep Peter in your prayers. Steve, do you have an update for us? I know some folks didn't all hear everything you had to say, and that would be great. I'm sure they'd like to hear from about how Peter's doing.
And thank you all for your prayers for Peter during this process. He did go home from the hospital on Wednesday. He has since seen his primary care physician who wants to get him in to a stroke clinic down here in the cities, and they're working to do that as quickly as possible. The test that he had in Newcastle to try and confirm the presence of this small hole between his atria and his heart was inconclusive. So there's some doubt about what exactly that entails. And at this point, there's still a lot of unknowns. He's home. We saw him this morning before church on a Zoom call, He looks tired. I think part of that is the fact that his wife Liz has returned to her call schedule at the hospital, and so he's doing his best to juggle taking care of the kids when she's not there. But all in all, God's blessings have obviously shown. He seems to be in good spirits and seems to feel pretty good, but we still have a lot of questions, and that's why we ask you to continue your prayers. Thank you.
Thanks for the update, Steve.
We're going to turn, as I sort of flip around here real quick, we're going to turn to Joanne, who is visiting with us. Oh, I just unmuted and she remuted herself, and just ask her for an update. How are you doing today, Joanne?
I'm here.
And I hear you've got some issues with your leg. Can you share with us?
Well, it's been hurting for quite a while, but I just ignored it until Friday, whenever I come home from the walk up the post office, and on the way home, I could hardly walk. And then I called my daughter and her husband and got rained out because she took me to urgent care. So I'm to see an orthopedic doctor.
I'm just writing this all down. Well, we are glad to see you, my friend. A lot of people, I'm sure, are sending their love and their prayers for you, and we will be keeping you in our prayers as you go see an orthopedic.
Right. And it's her birthday.
Oh, that's right. And it's Joanne's birthday. But happy birthday, Joanne.
Thank you.
25 again, huh?
Yeah, over and over.
Over and over. That's fine. That works for us, too. Well, it's good to see you, my friend. Is there anything else you'd like to share with your church family?
Just to keep me in your prayers, that's all.
That's all. That works for us. Okay.
Yes.
All
thanks.
Right. You bet. I've been pulling up the list of prayer concerns that were sent in here and going over them. We had a prayer concern come in today, this morning, on Jennifer's phone. If you recall, we prayed for a co-worker of hers, Kim, who had cancer. And Kim's doing well, or fairly well, but Kim's family has asked us to pray for their son, Dominic. He's one of his close friends, Kyle Mata, who lives around here, has passed away. Dom and Kyle were very close, and so they asked us if we would pray for comfort and support for him in his time of grief. And so we'll pray for them. We will certainly keep the children of Matsiko in our prayers today. We received a prayer concern, and I will read it to you from Tony. You may have seen it already on the chat, may not, so I'll read it to you. He says, please keep the Sheehy family in your prayers. It says, my aunt Janie passed away from COVID-19 on Friday, and we can't go be with her and with my cousin. So we will pray for the Sheehy family today as they go through a time of grief and pain. We also received a prayer concern virtually here from Ron, who asked us to pray for co-worker Jason, who lost his wife to cancer last week and leaving behind two children. So we will keep Jason's friends and family in our prayers as they go through their time of grief. This is your last opportunity to comment on any, I'm looking at the Facebook feed, to comment on any joys and concerns that you have this morning. Are there any in the room that we need to share that we have neglected? Hearing none and seeing no one wave at me, I invite you to be the church with me. Let us pray. Loving God, we are thankful for how your presence is with us and at work in our lives. We thank you that you are close by us in our times of need, sheltering and comforting us, even when we cannot be together as the body of Christ. We think of the needs and the joys which have been shared virtually, the needs and joys which reside in our hearts, and we commit them up to your care. We ask you to bless Joanne today on her birthday, that it may be a special blessed birthday, for it was a joy, it is a joy to see her active in the life of the church and present in our service today. Bless her and bless her family. As she gets ready to go to the orthopedic, we pray for wisdom and for understanding for that doctor as he cares for her, that the pain that she's been ignoring or enduring, as she said, would be resolvable quickly. We pray for the children of Matsiko and the ministry of ICN. We thank you for how it blessed us this past weekend. How hearing the children say just thank you, we appreciate you, we love you, we miss you. Listening to Mamata and Suman sing lifted our hearts and inspired us, blessed us. Thank you for that joy. Be with those children today. We think of Julie and Steve's son, Peter, who, as we heard, there are a lot of questions and uncertainty residing there. But what is not uncertain and what is not unclear is that you are there. And so we pray for Peter, for his wife, for his family, that as they search for answers, they may find the answers, and that Peter's health would improve, that he would get stronger this day. We think of the Sheehy family, who is going through their own time of grief and pain with a death related to the coronavirus. We pray for Aunt Julie's friends and family, that you would watch over them, that your grace would encompass them, that although they cannot be together as they may normally wish to be, that they can sense and feel each other praying together, interceding together, loving together. We think of the family and friends of Ron's co-worker, Jason, whose wife passed away this weekend from cancer. Be with them. Be with the children who are left behind. Comfort, support, and hold them close in your hands, Lord. And finally, we think of young Kyle Mata's family. And for Dom and for others who are close to him, that you would be with them as well, helping them to grieve, reminding them that you're present, loving upon them, as you love upon each and every one of us today. Loving God, we are thankful to be together. We know we are not together physically, we are together in the Spirit, and it brings us joy. I am thankful, Lord, for this church, for their willingness to be flexible, adaptable, willing to shift the focus, willing to serve without an end date in mind. It testifies and speaks to how you are at work in their lives. Continue to mold and shape these men and women of Christ into your image and into your likeness. For these things we give you thanks. Now hear us together, Lord, as we offer you the first prayer, which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our final hymn together is in the blue hymnals on 138, but it is also copied in your packet, and I have... Where is mine? There is mine. It is also copied in your packet. It is Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let us worship the Lord. Will you stand as you are able, whether at home or in the sanctuary?
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Just a reminder, as you see session members, we ask you to stay around for just a couple of minutes afterwards. One of the things that does happen when we don't have our traditional stuff in place is that things get neglected or forgotten. So I apologize. There was an additional prayer concern that you may have seen through email from the Cardillos asking that we keep their daughter Rachel in our prayers. She is scheduled for a biopsy, it says, next Thursday. She has a difficult past health-wise with some concerns. So please pray this morning, this afternoon, for Rachel as she gets ready for these tests. And now please bow your heads for the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Alleluia and amen.
Thank you. That was very nice.
And you're all in your zone.
Aaron McKinley on his side.
I don't know what he's doing.
Oh, he's walking around his house. He's moving to a different location.
That's all right. Oops.